This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where no, I do not believe there is any truth to the rumor that Globe Life Field has temporarily been converted into a Spirit Halloween store.
Everything gets converted into a Spirit Halloween store at some point.
I do not believe that is accurate, but as we've long discussed, the Rangers are in fact leaving Bally, and it was Evan Grant who says that they're working on their own,
developing their own product. Yeah.
So if we were hoping platform that they would bounce on to Victory Plus, at least early indications are that will not be the case.
I wonder if that is concrete, or if it is one of those that it's like, yeah, we're developing our own, so that somebody will come at you and say, hey, let's work on this together instead.
That's fair. That's a good question. I'm honestly not sure.
I love those kind of games, man. And business people do it all the time. We're radio hosts, you know. We ain't got to do that.
I mean,
till it's contract time.
Exactly.
You hear that, bosses?
It's time for, that's a while away. It's time for Cowboys thank you or no thank you notes. Usually, this is dictated by the outcome of the game. But in kind of a, split decision, I guess, the Cowboys do win. It was a win they desperately needed, but it was a game where they were playing an inferior opponent and didn't look too great either. So I can understand how people might fall on either side for this one. From the 940, no thank you to Brandon Aubrey for missing the field goal that would have covered the spread. Like I said, there's probably a lot of gamblers that were super invested in that last field goal by Brandon Aubrey.
Oh, I feel like you were. I feel like you're the gambler that was very invested in that situation based on how many times you brought it up today already.
Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that Brandon Aubrey will get thrown off because he's no longer perfect. And he was like, well, I'll never miss because I'm always perfect. And then when he missed from 50 plus, now he's like, I mean, except for that one time.
He missed his first one,
and he gets
though,
a program malfunction.
Didn't he miss his first one, or was an extra point?
Yeah,
and I was
not
like,
a field
he'll never
goal,
miss
though
it again, and all that. So that was a, I understand. You think the robot is off program. There was a glitch in the system a little bit. I get it.
Now, there's a trio that I'm going to throw out there because the Cowboys defense, look, they played very well, especially against the run. They missed so many opportunities to put this game away. For example, and you can make the argument that Daniel Jones threw the ball up because he knew it was a free play. But Carl Lawson, for jumping offside,
oh my gosh,
negating the Diggs interception.
I thought that was going to like just really kill them too. Fortunately, it didn't.
Or
fortunately, a lot of the shots in the foot didn't really hurt them that much.
And they just led to yet another field goal.
Kind of like Plaxico Burress, you know.
Oh,
you just
my gosh.
Had to, you just penalize yourself a little
bit. Send him to jail?
Yeah, but, you know, not he wasn't dead.
Touche.
Right side.
Touche. Eric Kendricks, for missing the tackle that would have forced a punt right after that. And then Malik Hooker for dropping the interception with about 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. Now, I know Trayvon Diggs looked like he was the primary on that, but Malik Hooker swooped in, and it wasn't a deflection. He had the ball, and then he just dropped
it. What about at the end of the game when the ball went over his head because he decided to try to go for the interception?
Dude.
I was like, what? And you know what?
Was that the Minnesota miracle?
Yeah.
What did that look almost exactly the same?
Well, he went underneath the tackle, and Diggs got it. But say his name, Kevin, the other cornerback that got the interception at the end of the game. Orbe. When he went up, and if you watch the way he grabbed that, he had to go behind his head. That thing could have slipped out of his fingers and been almost a touchdown.
His vertical and reach was super impressive.
It definitely was. And yeah, man, Eric Kendricks, Malik Hooker, Leafau, multiple guys, Diggs in this game missed tackles. That's why I brought that up. I know Jerry like immediately deflected and went over to Overshone and was like, what about him? Because he did save you at the goal line, man. That was an amazing play that he made there. But he was the one. Everybody else seemed to miss tackles throughout the night that I was like, what's going on? Stop just trying to slap bump people, all right? That's not the way that you want to do it. You go wrap up and lay them down, man.
Now, from the Okay, there's a lot coming in. There we go, from the 817. Are we the most penalized team in the league this season? So I'm going to say yes, because going into the game, they were the second most penalized team in the league. And then the fact that now you've played one game, at least for a couple days, more than the rest of the teams in the NFL, that'll get the job done when you're called for 11 penalties in the first three quarters. So yes, that is a continually devastating part of this game. And look, I understand you're breaking in two new offensive linemen. They're rookies. Some of the penalties come along with the territory, but the pre-snap penalties are still driving me bananas. And Jerry said they were as well, but then you kind of got the boilerplate, like, we'll get it fixed. So we'll see how that goes. Trayvon Diggs gets a no thank you note for giving up the fourth down pass to Malik Nabers that looked like what happened to close out the Ravens game. In terms of, it felt like he was playing a little bit too much off coverage when you knew not exactly what they were going to do, but you knew it was going to be a quick play.
He thinks, he still thinks this way, I got the catch-up speed. I mean, even when you watch him, you can see when he's off by that far, you can see then he turns it on and starts sprinting, and you're like, man, if you would have just been stuck to him a little better, you would have been able to do this. But he thinks also that if I'm off of him a little bit, it gives me a little more leeway in case they make a move that I can go catch up that. If I'm stuck to him too much, then maybe I'm, you know, trying to predict what they're doing. But that does get him a lot, where he thinks, you know what, I'm giving him enough space because I have the speed to be able to catch up. But he does run routes for people. Yeah, catch up. That's right, Ruben. Catch up. Right.
Good
there.
Job, Ruben. You're doing a really great job. Now, let's talk about some positives. I mean, I'll throw out some thank you notes, because there's been plenty of no thank you notes. Well, thank you to the officials for calling the face mask penalty on the Giants instead of the Cowboys. Didn't really mind that at all. For the rest of the night, I really disliked the officiating crew, and I thought they were the worst, because they were like, I need every second of TV time I can get, and it was super annoying.
There was no rhythm.
Yeah.
There was no rhythm to the game for anything. Even for Al Michaels, Herb Street, anybody, it didn't feel like there was any rhythm because it was always being stopped. And there was one moment, I loved it, when Al Michaels goes, oh, and a flag is down. And you were like, where? I don't see any flag. And then they showed the zoom up, and he goes, see, we wouldn't lie to you. And I was like, oh, man, he's right.
I think it was the moment, there was about 5 minutes left in the third quarter, and he goes, miraculously, that's the first flag of the quarter. And I was like, man.
Was it the first play of the third quarter that they were like, oh, yep, right here? Or was that the third quarter that you're talking about? That was the quarter that he said that.
That was the quarter that
he said
that.
Was the second quarter, fourth quarter? One of them, it was like, first play. Here you go, guys.
I want to say, man, thank you to DeMarvion Overshown for that open field tackle on Malik Nabers, forcing that second field goal. Forcing a field goal in the second quarter. I thought he had some really good open field tackles. And you heard Jerry talking about, did he call him the Cobra?
The Cobra.
When he wraps him up like that.
The Cobra.
And then,
is that a thing for him?
Thank you note to Hunter Lipke for breaking past Thibodeau, getting to the edge, and converting that fourth down. And CeeDee Lamb would score on the very next play. So there's three people that I want to shout out in this sequence of plays. So Lipke gets just past Thibodeau, breaks out to the outside, converts the fourth down. CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott connect for that touchdown on the very next play. And part of the reason they were able to do that is thank you note to Deuce Vaughn for picking up the blitz on that touchdown. I don't feel like that's come up a lot, but he was there, picked up the blitz, gave Dak enough time to make the connection. And then, of course, CeeDee can always make all the moves and broke off, you know, like an extra 45 or 50 yards to score that touchdown.
Do you believe that he and Dak now are good? Or is the second half like, hold on, why couldn't they get that all together? Because they still connected.
They did.
Just didn't score enough.
I think I'm pretty positive about it, because I believe his catch percentage to target was like 54 or something like that. And last night he was 7 of 8. So 87.5%. Like, that's probably not a sustainable amount, but man, it'd be great if it was. But they really felt like they were in sync last night.
Did y'all hear that just now? Kevin said 7 of 8, 87.5%. And you're like, what? How does he do that? 6 of 8.
You should know that, Corey. Do you really not know that?
I'm just asking you. I want to see if you know it.
It's 75%. You just break that down. That's clearly 3/4. That's an easy one.
13 of 14.
No, I'm not doing this anymore. You should know that. But obviously, it's like 93%. All right. So, look, I just didn't want to get into it. But, yes, that is the answer.
19 of 60.
Stop. Okay. Of what?
60.
Oh, I thought you said of 16. And I was like, hold on. I don't think you've got this. All right. Shout out or a thank you note to Mozzie Smith. For many things, but one of the things I want to thank him for is that suplex throwdown tackle. I thought that was freaking awesome. Now, I know all tackles are going to count the same, but when you're able to almost just heave someone up in the air and throw them down, and then you saw him fired up after that, I thought that that was freaking awesome.
I would like to give a no thank you and thank you note to Andrew Booth. Tripping on the one play that I was like, how did you – I'm in my notes, Kevin. You want to see my notes real quick on this one? Let me scroll down. It's very early in the game. So, all caps, how the F did Neighbors get that wide open?
Booth all I falls. See on your notes is I love Buffalo Wild Wings.
I love Buffalo Wild Wings. Oh, my gosh. And their tots.
Yes.
I'll talk about their tots here in just a little bit. But, yeah, that was the no thank you. But then he makes some really good tackles. Like, the next few plays went right his direction, and he made some good tackles. He did get replaced in the second half because they were like, your coverage not good enough. And that's how Mike Zimmer does. But Mike Zimmer, man, dude, think about this for a second. They're on their, what, fifth, sixth, seventh cornerbacks? They were in Mukwamu's getting out there. So they're deep into this thing right now. That's not great for the Cowboys, and somehow they were still able to do well in the secondary.
Since the Cowboys won, it kind of felt like this fell to the wayside, but there was a play when the Cowboys had a third and one, and they decided, hey, let's go shotgun, and let's get cute here. And then they got a holding penalty, and the whole thing fell apart. The next drive, they've got a third and 12, and they dump the ball out to Hunter Lipke for 3 yards. And you're like, what the hell are we doing? It seemed like we just settled for a punt. Now, I know the Cowboys ended up winning, so that doesn't end up being, like, one of the primary concerns. But it was those back-to-back third down calls that were perplexing. It feels like, hold on, wouldn't you have dumped it off to Lipke in the third and one and gone shotgun on the third and 12? And they're like, nope, we're going to go opposite.
You know, and this is something, no thank you to the inability to just run the clock out on your own as a running team. And that tells you that your running game still isn't good enough. Broaddus has been bringing this up since the Cleveland game. And obviously the last two games before the Giants, we didn't have that opportunity. But you didn't have the ability to just say, we're going to break your back here with a drive that you can't do anything about. We're just going to run right through you, right over you. They don't have that ability right now. They have to work on that. They have to be better at that. And I don't know if it's Zeke or Dowdle. Maybe it's Lipke. Maybe that's the back that you decide to go with because he's the one that picks up the yards.
I could see that. And then there's a lot of people who have been sending this in. Shout out to Brandon Aubrey for being almost amazing beyond words, except for that last kick. He had another unbelievable look. In my mind, because do you guys ever go through worst case scenarios when you're watching a football game? So, like,
yes.
I know the Giants hadn't scored a touchdown all night, but it's 20-15. I'm like, if you make this field goal, obviously you're going to be up by 8. They would need to score a touchdown, which they haven't done all night, and get the 2-point conversion. When he missed, I was like, oh, dear God.
Now all they have to do is score a touchdown.
And we're going to lose to this garbage team. And so that kind of went through my mind. But Brandon Aubrey made another 60-yard field goal to go along with the 65-yard field goal from Sunday. That is insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing that really most anybody can do. And he's like, no problem.
And you know what? I appreciate all the things that he's done in the past, Kevin. Make every kick whenever it's that time, though. The present is what matters.
I agree. Do you wish that Mike McCarthy would have called a timeout? And he could have set up, or do you think Brandon Aubrey's like, I don't need no damn timeout. It's 51 yards. It's like flipping the ball in.
Yeah, let's ice this one.
Yeah
probably so. Kevin from the 214, no thank you to KNC, saying they'll be in Buffalo, New York. I'm here, and y'all aren't here.
No, I'm there. Buffalo. You got to go down Thurman Thomas Avenue.
Oh, that's not.
Make a left.
There's not a Thurman
Jim
Thomas
Kelly
Avenue.
Boulevard. And you will find us. We're right off of Marv Levy Street.
Oh, you know what? I feel like there's.
I
a
bet
Levy
those
Street.
Things exist.
Okay,
we're in Mesquite,
Mesquite Garland area.
It's Mesquite.
Yeah.
We're over by the mall.
Yeah, so come on over here and hang out with us. Fly back right now. You should make it back before the end of the show.
How fast do you think a plane goes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Combo Platter. It is National Potato Month. So give us a Cowboys opinion. And then, what is the best food version? There can only be one of the potato. We'll do it next right here on The Fan, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite.
From the 45, first down, shotgun, good blitz pickup, and Prescott down the left side. Lamb broke the tackle. 35, outruns three men into the end zone. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. If you want to come on by, see the show, enjoy the food, that delicious Miller Lite we got good deals on, and enter for your chance to win some Cowboys prizes and the Cowboys tickets that we're giving away later today. Now, after the game yesterday, Micah Parsons was moving around the Cowboys locker room with a slight limp. He told a teammate, yeah, I'll be good. Well, Ian Rappaport is rappaporting that Micah Parsons does, in fact, have a high ankle sprain. Mm. His status is to be determined, but obviously you're familiar with the high ankle sprain. Usually this feels like this is a multiple-week injury that you're going to be out. It is a good time for the mini-bye, but wouldn't you think, man, that next game could be tough for him? Or do you think he's like, no, I'm good, I'll make it?
He doesn't heal faster than other people, right? Like, didn't Sirianni once say that Jalen Hurts heals faster than all of us?
Turns the ball over faster than everybody too.
But he doesn't heal faster than anybody. If he can deal with the pain, hopefully he can deal with the pain and not like not have to have anything else extra to deal with the pain. Because what do the former players always say? It masks it, but you're not healthy, and then it makes it worse sometimes. So hopefully he can deal with the pain. Or I mean, the Cowboys might have to come up with another solution to go in that place, but right now they're so shorthanded. Love seeing Nealon get back there and make big stop yesterday in the backfield. Stuffs the play. Daniel Jones did a terrible job reading that, but that's that area where if Mike is not there, now you got Nealon and you got other linebackers that are going to have to take on those roles.
Now I feel like it's about that time for the Combo Platter. This is National Potato Month, so give us a Cowboys opinion. And then, what is the best food version of the potato? Don't be like, oh, this is good, this is good. If there can only be one, like Highlander style, you can only have hash browns or baked potatoes or whatever the hell you decide it needs to be. What is the best version of the potato, but also give me a Cowboys opinion?
By the way, just asking this question.
This is going to be a hash brown question?
It is a hash brown question. Jack in the Box or McDonald's hash brown? The little hash brown patty thing.
I think McDonald's.
It's crispy. It's perfect almost every time.
I really like the McDonald's.
The Jack in the Box one was good, too, whenever you were, late in the night and you needed to, or early in the morning.
Sure.
You need a little breakfast action, but I think you're right. McDonald's is the right one.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, I actually
give you the daintiest little paper bag in the world that it comes in.
But what? Because that thing is fire hot.
Yeah,
it's the perfect thing. So here's how you do it. When it's hot like that, you hold the paper part, but then you hold it in front of the air conditioner. Or if it's wintertime, you roll your window down just a little bit and hang it out the window so it cools off faster. There you go. Congratulations. I've done it for you. All right, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
So I don't know if this is an opinion or not, but this is what I said for Cowboys win, Cowboys lose yesterday. Cowboys win because they stopped the Giants on first down runs. They ended up with 1.1 yards per carry, running the ball total.
Yep.
So I feel like I was pretty accurate with that one. They won. They also did that. Smart. Cowboys lose because they can't get off the field on third down was what
I said
yesterday.
Hold on. Is this opinion going to be why you're the best?
Probably so. I'll let you decide that. Cowboys lose because they can't get off the field on third down. In the end, the Cowboys held the Giants to 5 for 16 on third downs.
Okay.
So I feel like those two things were huge factors in helping the Cowboys win. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Because the things that I said yesterday helped them win yesterday because they did it. They actually did what I said they needed to do.
So essentially your opinion was listen to Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because I will be correct.
Yeah, I think Mike Zimmer was like, you know what? He's right about this. We need to stop them on first down runs and stop Daniel Jones from converting third downs. That was helpful. And the best form of potato, is the tater tot. It's the potato tot, and Buffalo Wild Wings has phenomenal potato tots. I know some people call them tater tots, but that is the best form of the potato.
Okay.
I've always loved tater tots. Sonic has really good tater tots.
True.
Buffalo Wild Wings is just like Sonic, except for a little less salty. I don't like the ones. Choppy's right. The ones that are soggy, not good. You need the crispy outside. Those are the perfect tater tots.
I don't know what it is, but I think the combination of Sonic tater tots and their barbecue sauce works really well together. I think they just pair well together. From the 214, Cowboys defense does not look good at all, and Tyler Guyton is a liability. French fries are the obvious best potato product. From the 682, I'm tired of all these vertical stick routes to the sideline. This is the hardest route to get separation, and any answer besides French fries is wrong.
Oh, dude, French fries are good.
But overrated.
The crinkle cut fries from Brahms are very good. I don't think those are overrated at all. But they are a side. They're just a side. I will order tots as a meal. I did today, as a matter of fact. I'll never order fries as a meal. That's just not my thing.
Okay. Fair enough.
You're welcome. From the 785, I don't know what this is. Cowboys go 8-9 and miss the playoffs. Malarkey balls? Have you ever heard of a malarkey ball?
Oh, dear.
Did you just read that one?
No, I feel like we should have fact-checked.
They said they think Malarkey's Tavern is gone, though. So it was a thing from Malarkey's Tavern. Am I wrong? Are they Bill Malarkey?
The first thing I got was Bill Malarkey on baseballreference.com.
All right.
I'm not entirely sure.
Malarkey's Tavern was a place at Trinity Mills Road in Dallas.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that they are permanently closed. It was an Irish pub, but they did have malarkey balls.
Must not have been that great.
Okay.
From the 817, Cowboys young guns will continue to get better throughout the year, and the twice-baked potato is the best potato product.
My buddy one night.
Oh, no.
He invited all of it. He just got done with culinary school, and he invited everybody over, and he was a fantastic chef. He's moved to Colorado to grow things.
Weed.
He made thrice baked potatoes.
Oh.
And I don't remember exactly how went about. It was the best. It was amazing. The best thrice baked potato I've ever had before, because it was the first one, but
okay.
It was really, really good.
Never forget your first time.
That's right. Feels
from the
like
3-2-1, last night's win showed how mediocre the Cowboys are when they can barely beat bad teams. And potato chips are the best potato food product. This is probably a really dumb question. Now you feel like it's Triglide, Noceride that comes into those potato chips, and it's not like actual potatoes that are part of those chips.
Okay, hold on.
You know what I'm saying.
You're talking about like Lay's potato chips. Okay. Are those real potatoes?
I don't think so.
Pringles, it was proven that it wasn't real potatoes. It was like something else.
And I can't say that's surprising to me.
But like I've seen fresh-made potato chips like that.
Okay.
It's just salt that makes them good. You know, it's just the salt. Otherwise, it tastes like grease and potato. You know, and then the little salt's all you really need, though.
From the 817, the only good thing about the Cowboys season is the Zeke stopped making that stupid feed me move. And best potato is a fully loaded baked potato with ranch on top.
Okay.
The best potato is the potato chip. And the Cowboys receiving core will continue to have the longest runs of the year. Probably some crazy jet sweeps, which is not necessarily what you want.
Yeah, from the 8-1, yeah, you're right about that, because you've been pointing that out for 2 weeks now. From the 817, Cooks is broken, and you can't go wrong with a brisket baked potato. Kevin,
man,
on Brandon Cooks, we might have to have a discussion here. And maybe we have that discussion next week. I'm going to need to sit down and look, because Chiafalo tweeted it last night. You should follow him on Twitter. G-Bag Nation also has a awesome event going on this weekend.
Flagtober is tomorrow!
Tour Day DFW. Go check them out on G-Bag Nation on Twitter, and that's going to give you the map for the entire day tomorrow. But Chiafalo was like, is the only route that Cooks is allowed to run a comeback? Because every time, and last night, obviously, with two high safeties, the way that they play, they forced the Cowboys to do things underneath. I get that. But it felt like that Cooks was, you know, draped, blanketed every time he was turning around to make a play. And if that's the case, there feels like there's other ways to get him open. the play that CD, the slant he had from the right side, did you see him waving to Dak going, look, he waved at him and pointed, and then he and Dak saw it, and then bam, they hit that play. Two plays later, same thing to Cooks. And I was like, that's something that they need to work on a little more, is because Cooks, he almost broke away for a big play on that one. But that is definitely a thing, is I would like to see him in different routes there. Tolbert, I thought, looked pretty decent last night when given his opportunities as well.
I would be inclined to agree with that. All right, Alec, do you have a Cowboys opinion for us? And then what is the best type of food product for the potato?
Ooh, Cowboys' opinion after watching last night's game is going to be that the running back situation is still not figured out. You didn't see Zeke come into the game until it was cleanup time, essentially. And I think one of my first tweets in the game was, I want to say it was Rico Dowdle's second carry. Usually whenever you're listening to the broadcast and you hear, you know, he makes a cut, he makes a jump cut, you're like, okay, he saw something that he liked. He jump cut right into a defender's arms. The safety came down into the box, and it was a loss of a yard. I was not happy in that moment, and that was the moment that I realized that this running game is still broken. And I think it will continue to be broken until they actually make changes, because the game plan looked exactly the same yesterday. Like, the offense felt the same. It just felt like some guys were stepping up and playing better than they had been. Example, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. It felt like it was flowing better just because guys were doing better. But like you touched on with Brandon Cooks, it seemed like his route tree is exactly the same, and he was getting the same results. Dak Prescott was having to make tight window throws on every dropback because his guys weren't getting separation. So I feel like the run game is a big part of that, and I feel like you guys are going to continue to ask Jerry and Steven every week about it, because it's going to continue to be an issue.
And then they're going to be perplexed as to why we ask such foolish questions.
Why would you ask something like that?
Yeah, they're going to ask why you created that narrative, because you guys create every narrative surrounding this team.
Media.
Y'all wrote a story about it, and obviously you're trying to make your story look correct right now.
I haven't written in years. Take that, Jerry.
What a weird
Nor have
comeback.
I read.
What's the number one potato food?
I'm really with Corey that a well-done tater tot can do things for me, but I will say this. A perfectly executed crinkle-cut fry is probably the best fried potato ever created, because I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Buffalo Wild Wings, I do go there with the homies for NFL Sunday when the Cowboys aren't playing, and I'll be doing that this Sunday out in Mansfield if you're out in that area. But I usually get, like, the loaded – I think it's the Buffalo Chicken Tots. Those are really, really good because, like Corey said, they have the perfect cook on them so they don't get soggy, and it's amazing. But – I will say that I do love a good, like, Brahms or even fast food crinkle cut fry. If they are not soggy, they actually have a little crisp to them. The best fried potato product ever made.
Things like that, tots and fries that have that crunch, Kevin, it's kind of like the BlackBerry. You know, you hear the tap sound, and that's the thing that really sells it for you, is the tapping sound
to
it.
The phone?
Yeah, remember the guy who created it was like, we have a tap. The iPhone doesn't have that. How could it be any better?
Yeah, it worked out super well for him.
The 817 Cowboys game was super boring, but the Hasselback potato reigns supreme. Have you ever seen a Hasselback potato? This is it right here, Kevin. It's one of those that's like sliced very thinly and then baked that way, and then they put the toppings on top of it rather than inside of it. That looks awesome
there. Okay. All right.
Not then Matt Hasselback.
I have another. That's actually what I was thinking. Or Elizabeth Hasselback. What's that potato that I feel like I should know.
Oh,
this.
The potato.
At the cooking class, where we sliced the potato really thin and like layered it on top.
Au gratin.
And there's like some other fancy name for it. And then we put butter and oil, and then you layer more potatoes, butter and oil, more potatoes. Then you put it in the oven, and it came out, and it's like this amazing like potato casserole dish thing that we made at the cooking class that I definitely don't remember. Somebody help me out. But, man, it was awesome.
The million layer potato?
Ooh.
Did it look like the little squares where they end up going and like frying it again or something?
No.
All right, I'm working on it. I'll figure it out.
We'll,
I'm going to figure this
we'll
sucker
figure
out,
this
man.
Out
was it ratatouille?
No, it was not ratatouille.
All right. I
didn't see a mouse there. Uh-huh. From the 817, loaded baked potato is the best way to eat a potato, and the Cowboys will lose to all the teams they play over .500 this year. This year from the 808, the Cowboys will be all smoke and mirrors until Jerry's BS disappears. French fries will always be the number one potato.
No. I think it's the potato galette. This one right here, Kevin. I think that's the one.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. Well, nobody knows.
I don't know, and I was in the class. From the 214, the Cowboys will end up third in the NFC East, and the best version of the potato is fried and mashed. Now, I didn't consider this, Corey.
Oh, yeah. You fry it, then mash it. That's really good.
Do you consider a couch potato? Where are we going to say no, because that's what we said. It had to be a food version of the potato.
I mean, you did say that, didn't you?
I did.
All right, so then that stands. By the way, our boss man Gavin Spittle said scalloped potatoes. Is that what you're looking for? He's helping us try to figure this out here. Kevin doesn't know. It's okay.
Let's call
the class up.
Yeah.
Call them up and see if they have an answer.
I'm sorry. Jess would know the answer to this because y'all made fun of me too because I said we had the fancy shrimp and you guys were like, that is not what that was. A scallion?
It was scallops.
Scallops.
You know, you
okay.
were like, yeah, it's big shrimp.
And yeah, like, that and is you guys not were like, no, that is all wrong. From the 682, shout out to Tolbert. Dude has improved big time. I think he should be, no, it's not that, our second option at wide receiver.
Really?
And then to add to that, if you're not doing sour cream and cheese in your potato, you're doing it all wrong. So
true.
I have the most boring baked potato in terms of, like, you can put butter on it, but then cheese and bacon, that's about it for, like, the typical baked potato toppings. But if you're going to drop, like, some brisket in there or something, hell yeah, I'm about that.
But are you getting to the potato or are you just eating the brisket?
No, I like to mix the brisket in with the potato. I think it makes it work a little bit better. I mean, brisket is delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm not just eating it all off the top. You're like shoving it in there just a little. Well, okay. All right.
You got to really shove the meat in there.
Grow up. Is, I guess, what I have to say.
There are a lot of texts.
I know. I'm
about
so
this.
Behind. And people are trying to help out. I really.
Fondant potatoes au gratin. No, we were going through all those. That's not the one. But that being said, he also doesn't know what the answer is, so maybe we said it a few
times. I feel like
if
I would hear it, so I'm going to go back because people are asking about scalloped potato recipe. I'm going to go back and look at that because we have gotten that answer a lot.
From the 903, Cowboys are cooked, and the barbecue grilled cheese baked potato, I have no clue what that is.
But
how do you make a barbecue grilled cheese baked potato?
Awesome.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Okay. Where does Kevin go for a cooking class? All right, so the cooking class that I went to, I was told that I was saying it inaccurately. And this is why I remember it. Because I was like, oh, yeah, we went to Sur La Table. And everybody told me, no, that's wrong. It's pronounced Sur La Table. And so I'm not fancy enough to know how to pronounce it or to remember the things we made at the cooking class. But I did go to the cooking class, so I can tell you that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you missed the news, Ian Rappaport confirming that Micah Parsons does have a high ankle sprain. We will see what that means probably in the next few days in terms of timetable. I'm sure Micah is going to say, I still want to be out there for the next game. Maybe the mini bye will help, but that feels like a tough task ahead. And now it's time for AM on the FM.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
I do want to go ahead and tease ahead as one does in the radio business to 1:30 today, the masterpiece of the week. I feel like it might be another generational rendition of it. So that is your plug for here in about 45 minutes.
Alec, can I tease ahead to when I awkwardly asked Kyle Yeomans if I asked him for too many things too quickly? Because I texted him yesterday and said, hey, can you give me Nate Newton and Darren Woodson's phone number? And then I said, also, can you get me some autograph stuff for Peace-a-thon? He didn't respond to the second text.
Also, so I'd like feel to hang like, out with your triplets.
I feel like I might have asked too much too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it is a Forgiveness Friday at the end of the day. So, and you know what's crazy is September 27th. 7th is also National Day of Forgiveness. So I think it's appropriate to just go ahead and bury the hatchet there and have some good Cowboys conversation there, Kevin.
All right. I am sorry, Alec.
Four.
I just wanted to bury the hatchet.
Oh, yes. Oh. Agreed.
From Kevin, I am also sorry.
If you're listening right now and this message resonates to you from the 682, I see your message. I'm reading it. I will get back to you. So hang in there with me. I see your message. It's important. I'll get back to you.
So we start off AM on the FM with a question of the day, 877-881-1053. That is the Franco and Frankel Injury Attorneys text on Twitch and YouTube. Want to hear from you as well. But another holiday apparently that's coming up tomorrow. I love this national holiday calendar because I don't believe that any of these are real, but I'm going to run with it because I've been using this website for years. It says tomorrow is National Save Your Photos Day. Save your photos day. So I have a bit of a interesting question for you guys. How often do you go in and clean out your camera roll on your phone?
Because so whenever we didn't have a lot of space on our phones, Alec, I did it frequently because iPhone would be like, hey, you're out of space, dummy. And I was like, okay, because I didn't save anything on the cloud or whatever.
Okay. Sure.
I do it still, though, because I know I save a lot of pictures that I don't need. And every once in a while, Lucy will take my phone and then go, like, take 400,000 pictures of
the same thing
pillar in the living room or something. And you're just like, what is happening here? And then Carter will steal it. Actually, Carter now has a phone, so he doesn't do that as much as he used to. But, yeah, I'd still do it because a lot of times I'll take screenshots of, like, loadouts for Call of Duty, and now that I don't play it anymore, I don't do that. So I had to clean all that up. Mm-hmm. I'll take a lot of pictures and send them to Kevin of memes. Yeah. I'm always sending you a meme that I think is hilarious, and you're like, that's pretty good, Corey.
Your memes you do send over and your TikToks that are specially chosen for me are usually on point. Now,
curated.
Alec, I feel like this is going to be a question that you ask that I answer in a way that I think is normal and people are going to judge me. So I clean out my photos quite regularly because I also, like, at the beginning of a year, if I'm not having, like, a fairly active conversation with a person via text, I delete all of my text correspondence from the last year as well. So I am a perpetual, like, cleaner outer. It's the same thing with my email and everything like that. I just don't like the clutter.
See, I'm awful about this, and that's why I'm going to put myself under the spotlight, and you guys can make fun of me because I can literally, and I will do this as I speak. I know it's not good for an audio medium, but if I go all the way to the top of my camera roll, I can find, like, pictures of study guides and PowerPoints from 8th grade.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So,
that seems like too much. You don't need that anymore, do you?
I don't.
That was like 4 years ago, Alec.
That was more than 4 years ago. Hold on. I am now 23 and almost a half. Let's pump the brakes there. Settle down a little bit. Settle down a little bit.
23 and a half. By the way.
He's still counting the halves.
I asked my wife. So the people who answered this like a million years ago, she said that it was potatoes au gratin.
That was the first one I said.
I'm sorry.
That was the first one I said.
That didn't sound right to me.
Gosh.
Because I'm looking at it. There's like not so fancy versions of it you can make. Then there's a fancy version that we made. So my apologies for wasting your time, Alec, and everybody else's.
I see. Baseball Jesus on the Twitch says, my gosh, Alec, you grew up with iPhones. My first phone was a flip phone. I will give you that. I told you my dad worked in tech. So he was really big on, like, every month, back up your phone, back up your phone. So I would always back up my phone each month. So I've carried these photos with me. I got my first iPhone probably in 8th grade. That's why I still have these pictures. So I did grow up with them for a long time, but my first phone was I think it was a track phone, flip phone. So I had to buy the minutes, and if I ran out of minutes, it was just, oh, tough luck. You shouldn't have texted so many people. So I did go through those struggles. I did once upon a time, and it was humbling, but I told you guys last Friday, I did pick up the new iPhone, and I intentionally got double the storage that I had on my old phone just so I have a better excuse to not delete stuff. Because
I
am
just
lazy.
What's the upcharge for that, Alec?
So what
it's like $100 extra, or what are we talking about?
I think it was only like $100, $150 more.
Okay.
And I thought about it because the old phone was well paid off and it still had trade-in value. So I only paid about half price of the phone. So
okay.
That's the only reason why I did it. I always take care of my technology. Again, my dad beat that into my brain. You got to take care of your stuff that you invest in. And I was able to trade it in for about half the value of the new 16 Pro. So that's the only reason why I did it. I wasn't even planning on getting the new phone, but I saw how good the trade-in was, and I was like,
okay.
Okay. So there you go.
I gotcha.
And now I am never going to delete anything ever again. That is the conclusion I have come to.
I can't. I wish I could live my life as brave as you, Alec.
I'm totally lying. I will go through and maybe like the past month, because I screenshot a lot of stuff for work, whether it's emails, maybe reports or articles that I'm like, don't forget about that.
Yes.
Tweets and stuff. Yeah.
And if I take it to the air, if I send it to you guys or whatever, I go in and delete it because I don't want a bunch of screenshots in my phone. But pictures that I actually take, I am awful about deleting. And just to irritate everybody else, let me take my phone off and do not disturb real quick. I have 25,683 unread emails to go with that.
What
dude,
the hell are you talking about?
I do want to throw this into the mix on this. Kevin, I love having text conversations available still, because like yesterday or a couple days ago when I texted Tony Casillas, we had not talked in like 3 years, I guess, or something, maybe two. And I looked at a note that was the last thing we discussed, and I was like, hey, by the way, this. And so it was like an easy icebreaker. I don't know if he still had it, but it was an icebreaker for me.
Look, I understand the appeal of it. There's something inside of me. That's the OCD.
All right, that should be used for Masterpiece of the Week.
There's an OCD nature of me that's like, I can't do it. You just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Man, I get it. It's on a device, though, that you can put away. It's not like you see it.
No, I do, though.
You know it's
there. I know it's there. Like, when I check my email, and it'll be like, oh, you have 12 in the junk mail. My part of my brain's like, it's the junk mail. It doesn't matter. Mm. And then the other part of my brain that usually wins out is like, doesn't it, though? Like, are you sure that it's not something really important? And so that's the problem that I run into.
You know, and you sound like Monica from Friends whenever, like, a coffee cup would be turned the wrong way in the cabinet. You can't see it, but she knows it's there.
Yeah. If I showed you my room from when I was a kid, that's when you would know I was OCD. I would pull up posters and take them down and redo them because I was like, this is a couple inches off per the other posters, and I just couldn't handle that.
And maybe it got that way because the house shifted. Now you're like, oh, now I gotta re-level the house. And
at least I was young enough that I didn't have to worry about foundation repair. Being an adult sucks for that.
Hey, but the house didn't shift because, remember, Mike said, I think last week, that earthquakes only happen at the San Andreas Fault. So,
yeah, that's a weird take.
Yeah,
house shifting
does not happen around here, according to Mike Bassick. I did see from the 512 a person of my variety that they have over 30,000 photos in their phone. I believe I'm at 34,000-ish, something like that. And
okay, how many of those photos are shockingly similar? Like, if they're all different things because you live a very exciting life, if it's 8 different angles of some stupid selfie that you needed to send, I do not approve of that.
I have some, like, Kevin, I have the very first picture of disappointed face Kevin that we sent to the boss a long time ago. I have a picture of Colby hitting you in the face with the ham steak.
On your face.
I have that one right there that I can't talk about.
What the hell is that?
And then I have you as a centaur.
Oh, man, I wish.
And then I have Proud Brian. They're ones that I've had to save over time. Parker dressed as a skeleton. That you never know when you're going to use them again.
When would you ever need a picture of Parker dressed as a skeleton?
I don't know. There's this one of me in the pool and Colby's head in there and all the crawfish. Like that. Yeah, man, you never know when you're going to need a picture like that. And then our good friend Roger Emmerich.
Oh,
the last picture we ever
Roger
took with him.
Emmerich. I miss him.
See, my issue with that of like similar photos is I know I have like a meme or something I want to use that I have saved from years ago, but I don't want to go find it. So I'll just Google it and I'll resave it. And so
you have
I've got
4 of them.
I've got like 4 duplicates. And then my issue, you talked about the selfies. I don't take many pictures of myself, but I'll take pictures with other people. And so like I'm looking at from Jared Swinging for a Cause, which is coming up here very shortly. Again, this year, I'm looking at last year's, and I have a picture of me and John Gray together. And there is like 16 versions of it because Reggie got all kinds of different angles. So, and I never deleted the ones I didn't like. So I just have like 16 pictures of me and John Gray. I'm like, I should probably delete maybe 13 or 14 of those, but I never did. So,
okay. Alec, your question is stressing me out because of the way people are answering it. I have more than 3,200 photos on my phone. My wife has 150,000 photos.
Wait, what? How is that possible? Okay, I thought 30,000 was a problem. That's a chronic issue.
17,000 pictures, 1,800 videos. Yes, I have kids that take them for me. And the kids are the worst at that. They're like, here, there's this 17 pictures I got of a June bug. And you're like, that's freaking great. Like, one would have been just fine for that.
How do I count how many I have? I don't know how to do that. Well, right,
there
we'll
might be a count down at the bottom of the camera roll if you have iPhone.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. You can get back to us there. Yeah. And then file this under stupid decisions real quick. Jaylen Brown, I always respect people who try to carve their own path and like own everything that they create, their entire IP. He created his own shoe brand that is set to debut here, I think, in a few weeks. And it's called 741. It has a spiritual meaning behind it for Mr. Jaylen Brown. And if you go look at his Instagram page, it is the ugliest shoe you have ever seen. And good for him because he owns the entire IP. So if people do buy it, he will get all of that money. But the company itself that he is starting put out a statement about the shoe. And they say that, quote, Jaylen Brown turned down over $50 million in other shoe deals to make this one happen. And I'm sorry, but he turned down $50 million from other big names to make the worst shoe I've ever seen. Go check it out. But I will say the cool thing is it's $200 per pair for adults, which I think is ridiculous compared to like some of the Jordans and stuff that you can get for that same price range. But for kids sizes, $70. So a little bit more affordable for the kids, which I think he's trying to market to more. So I'll give him that.
Is it the black shoe with the blue bottoms and
yes.
kind of the bronze bubble cutouts? I don't really know how else to describe that.
I think my favorite response on Twitter was orthopedic ass sneaker. That was my favorite response that I saw to that. So, and then another one says, quote, cool idea, ugly shoe. Sorry, dog.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And then from the 214, I was today years old when I realized AM on the FM stood for Alec Medford on the FM.
Creativity, man.
There you go. And I've got even more news for you from Tom Pelissero. DeMarcus Lawrence is expected to miss multiple weeks because of the foot injury he suffered Thursday night, per sources. Now,
you know, his rookie season was Lins Frank injury, and I hope it's not that again, man.
So when we talked with Jerry earlier, he said they seem like they had dodged a bullet in terms of serious injuries, but now, even with a mini bye, you're most likely looking at no DeMarcus Lawrence in the next game, no Micah Parsons in the next game for the Dallas Cowboys. With a KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
All right, let's talk with our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com next in The Fan.